Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's a co-host. They're alive. They are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello.
Welcome to Duo Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited for our guest this week. Please introduce everybody to our guest.
A true multi-hyphenate. He's an actor, writer, comedian. You know him from the podcast Who Shot Ya, Nerdificent, Candy Dinner, and he's all over Twitch. It's Iffy Nwadaway.
Hey. Yeah.
Wow.
That was a song by Outkast.
You know, shake it like a Polaroid picture. All right, that's what they told us to do. Kids today have no idea what they're talking about unless they go to Urban Outfitters. They sell Polaroid cameras there.
Oh, yeah. They sell the, and well, they're not even Polaroid. They're usually the Intax, the Fujifilm Intax.
Just not the
which
same.
I do have it.
Okay.
I am a hipster as well.
One of the kids of today.
You take it out. You take pictures of girls in flower crowns and sunset and stuff. Mm-hmm.
I know. I like that we're in the era where, like, because I'm real into photography, but I like taking pictures of like buildings and, you know, landscapes. And so when I, you know, started picking it back up again, I had to be like, I'm not trying to half naked girls. Like, I'm not that guy. I want I want half naked buildings, half naked plants. Did y'all get in the plants yet? Have y'all gotten any plants in your place?
No.
We have three tiny succulents that always look like they're on the verge of death. That's it. We're not good at it.
I love succulents. I do have succulents that they never die, which is great, but I always forget to water. I'm not helping them.
That's my first. That's going to be my first step into plant daddom, is getting a succulent. And I'm going to work my way up to a nice, good fern.
You know what? Just go get one from like Trader Joe's or Home Depot, because there's a place in Frogtown that's like a 5-minute walk from here. It's like gentrification plant store where you'll pay $100 for a plant they probably bought for $3, but it's in like, you know, a minimalist pot, which what pot isn't minimalist? Thank you very much.
There are some maximalist pots.
That's true. Iffy, it's kind of tied into the movie we're going to talk about, but have you ever had like a bad trip?
Oh man, I haven't. It's interesting because I haven't had a bad trip to where it was scary, but I had a bad trip to where I looked inward and didn't like what I saw and got very, you know, and you start to get self-conscious and you start to worry about it. Like, it was right in that like nice middle point before I started making money doing comedy. And I, it was like the midpoint between quitting like my daytime job and now, and you just, that unsurety hit all at once. And I was like staring in the mirror crying, like, am I gonna make it? As is this gonna be anything? Am I a fool? But in the end, you still feel good after those. So I never call it a bad trip, because that's just shit you had to deal with that you just were choosing not to. That shrooms were like, psych.
It's time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've never done shrooms because I get like, sometimes I'll just from marijuana get like too freaked out. Like I was one time by myself watching The Shining, and like, I'm not a religious or spiritual person, but watching it, I was convinced like, oh my God, evil exists. Like I felt like true evil exists. And then like, I remember calling out to God, if you're here, prove it. Nothing happened.
Man. He doesn't like that.
He didn't like it. And then I went and threw up in the toilet and my vomit splashed back in my face.
Oh no.
Wow. I think that was your sign.
Absolutely.
Oh man. Yeah. That sounds like the worst combination of events.
Yeah. But love The Shining.
Still a great movie.
Still a great movie.
Fun enough. I've seen Dr. Sleep. Haven't seen The Shining.
I had a good time with Dr. Sleep.
Yeah. Because I was doing like a BuzzFeed video, and so they sent us to the premiere
screening.
Hopefully the statute of limitations went by, and they don't. They're like, you said you did like this. But yeah, I didn't see it yet. I mean, listen, I love the aesthetic, but yeah, no, I wasn't. And then I watched Dr. Sleep, and I loved it. And then I went home and I was like, I gotta watch The Shining. And they did that thing where they take it off of all the streaming platforms.
Oh no.
It's in theaters. And I was like, so I still haven't seen it yet. So I'll probably
They were trying to get you to watch the TV version.
Yeah.
With Steven Weber. Don't fall
have you for. Seen have you seen Ready Player One? That also has The Shining in it.
No, I have not seen Ready
You're
Player
not missing
One.
Anything.
Yeah. No, that's why. Like, because Ready Player One seemed like it would be my vibe, and then everyone's like, no, bro.
It's garbage.
Nope.
Yeah. Do not waste your time.
John, have you had a bad trip? You were a drug head.
Yes, I was a drug head. Thank you, Mark. I did mostly a lot of tripping in college. I never tripped that much in New York City, because for me, I think ideally it's all about like being in nature and laying outside. Like one time when I was at Bard, a bunch of us, we were theater majors. We had a boombox and we were listening to Hair, and we were just like, there's like Bard is like right in like on top of a forest. We were just like dancing through the forest and literally came upon a bonfire that some other people had started but left. So it was just like,
oh my God,
the universe just gave us this bonfire. We just like sang and danced around it. So I did a lot of drugs back then. The last time I did drugs, it was like those kind of drugs. I just felt gross, and I ended up like staying inside, which I never liked doing, and watching Madonna videos. So like that was
the
my way
typical
out of it.
Saturday. For
exactly.
You.
Yeah.
Well, I brought up bad trips because they're kicking off our Five Cold Screams, which is our month of horror movies. And the first one we're going to talk about that you brought in, Iffy, is Midsommar. John, what's the deal with Midsommar?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Midsommar. It was written and directed by Ari Aster. It stars Florence Pugh, Jack Rayner, William Jackson Harper, Wilhelm Blumgreen, Alora Torsha, Archie Madikwe, and Billy Poulter. It follows a group of friends who travel to Sweden for a festival that occurs once every 90 years, only to find themselves in the clutches of a pagan cult. I hate when that happens. It was released on July 3rd, 2019 by A24, and it grossed $47 million and received positive reviews from critics, many praising Aster's direction and Pugh's performance. And that is the deal with Midsommar.
So, Iffy, we asked you to bring in a horror movie. Why Midsommar?
Because typically, in general, I am not a huge fan of horror movies. Not that I dislike them. I just am a scaredy cat. A big clarification I need to make. Because there are people who are like, I don't like horror movies. I'm like, oh, you're weird. But I typically just, I just hate being scared. And like, I don't, so I won't push myself to do it. But I will say, I'm growing And I've been watching more and more. And Ari Aster, I've really kind of enjoyed his horror movies, specifically because he's been really good at like not doing jump scares. Because that's what really gets me about horror movies, or jump scares. Like you get those, and it's like, ugh, you know, I don't need that. If like, just give me, you know,
so, you don't need that spike.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and so I first saw Hereditary, which, you know, and we did the whole thing. I mean, that movie I watched through squinted eyes in dark rooms. Like that was a rough one, but that's when I kind of first got the taste of his dread, because like I was, my eyes were squinted the whole time because I was waiting for the scary thing to happen.
Right.
Really nothing scary happens until the last small portion of the movie, and they do a real good job of letting you know it's about to happen with the silence and the violin noises.
Yeah.
So Midsommar, I kind of wanted to watch too, because I love like world building. I love when you can create this interesting, you know, craft this interesting world of what's going on. And I typically like, you know, the trope of like getting wrapped up in a cult or getting wrapped up in a fish out of water situation. So I decided to give Midsommar a try. And yeah, the only kind of thing close to the jumpy scares for all the scary cat who might be listening and wondering is like when Chidi goes into the book room and someone comes up behind him and gets him, but it's less over jump score, more of an action moment, I would say.
True.
So
I think it's definitely a jump scare that you are sort of braced for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely
it's not truly like, out of nowhere. You're like, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen.
But you just kind of like living. And this one was a movie that I didn't squint through. This was one because I wanted to take it all in, because they're this cult is so interesting, this fake cult and like all the different parts, and you kind of know it's going to go south, so you're almost drawn in and into like the slow build of it all. So it was great. After watching that was kind of solidified my love for Ari Aster, because I also watched his short The Thing About the Johnsons. Let me get the right name for it for anyone who would who would get into it. The Strange Thing about the Johnsons.
That makes more sense for me.
And that one was really great, because it's just kind of like it's less horror and more suspense, kind of weirdy. Yeah, it's you know, Google's qualifying it as a indie drama, you know. And it's so, like, I'm probably gonna watch it again after this, but it caused so much drama because like it's this black family that's going through this situation. I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll say situation. And they're like, oh, why would you do the black family? And for the first time ever, I heard someone say, we just picked the best actors for the role, and it wasn't exclusionary to people of color. It was actually used to support people of color. That is something that's usually used to explain why you whitewashed a character. But instead, all right, and like that alone was like, okay, he's Ari, you're good in my book. So,
well, it sounds like you're a big Ari Aster head.
Yeah, I'm deep in the Aster verse.
John, what's your history with Midsommar?
I mean, I saw it last year when it came out and thought it was great. This is only the second time I've seen it, though.
But you think it was great, John? That is not my memory.
Truth comes out.
No, I was trying to remember this because I know that there was a set. Here's what I think the differences that we had was a lot of people were like, when it came to the boyfriend, Jack Rayner, Christian, people were like, good for him. He got what he deserved. And my feeling was, I was like, no, he didn't. Yeah, he was a putz, but he didn't do anything so bad that you're like, you deserve to get burned alive in a bear costume. And so I think where we differed and argue was not in the quality of the movie, but just whether someone got their comeuppance or if justice was served at the end of this movie.
So you like Midsommar is what I'm hearing.
I do like Midsommar. How about you, Mark? What's your history with Midsommar?
Well, I loved Hereditary. I ended up seeing it in theaters like four times. Well, two of those times were because I promised two different people I'd see in the theater with them, and then I couldn't coordinate at the same time. Anyway, so I loved Hereditary. So I saw Midsommar like really high expectations. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, it didn't hit me like Hereditary was my first initial thought. But then I didn't stop thinking about it for months. Like some of the images in this movie are just like, they sear into your brain. So in the end, so last time I watched it, I also got the director's cut from A24, not to brag. The 3-hour version is what I watched yesterday.
Wow.
Which makes
How was it?
It's good. It's nothing like radically. I see why they cut out the stuff, but it does just also make Christian look even more like a putz. There's another scene where he gaslights Danny and all that stuff. Gotcha. So I think it's incredible, and I will at this point watch anything Ari Aster does. So Iffy, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. Okay. We're all going to give, for the first group of categories, we're all going to score 0 to 100. Then we take the average. And then at a certain point, you are going to add a category and will be added to the wheel. Which is a thing you'll understand when we get to it. So you got to add a category at some point that we could use to judge Midsommar and future movies to see how gay they are.
Okay.
But this is our current, I'm just going to give you our current top 5 horror movies for the gayest. These are our gayest horror movies so far.
Okay.
So with a 50.78%, Berserk, which is this Joan Crawford movie. I didn't care for it. John liked it. Next, 51.85%, Sleepaway Camp. 53.32%, Scream. 64.92%, Ginger Snaps. And our highest rated horror movie, just not counting Little Shop of Horror, it's not truly a horror movie, is with a 71.84%, Interview with the Vampire.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
So if you had a guess, where do you think Midsommar is going to end up before we actually start scoring? Ooh,
I mean, like, I feel like this is going to be a low ranking one. I did not know that coming in. I would have tried to find a gayer movie. But this is a movie that centers around heterosexual problems.
How dare you?
100%. I was going to say relationships, just heterosexual problems in general. Just
right. Well, let's find out. So this is our first group of categories are the canon categories. So these are the essential categories. So the first category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate Midsommar for actual gay characters?
Ooh.
I don't think there's anybody gay in this.
Oh, John Maybe the has guy, made a motion.
Yeah, I didn't.
Go ahead.
What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I was trying to be like, I mean, we're in a cult, so there's always guts. So there's always some weird, you know, like shenanigans going down.
Yeah.
I'm sure like some of the women, especially like in that big like ladies, like,
oh yeah, that definitely
an orgy, but that like sort of fuck circle. I'm sure there was like some sort of like same sex sexual energy happening there. But yeah, there's no one.
This is one of the few also matriarchal cults. Like normally cults we see are patriarchal. But I didn't, maybe the guy who was so upset when the one kid, Will Poulter, peed on the tree, the ancestral tree, maybe like he seems a little fussy.
Right, and also like, wasn't he one of the two in the barn at the very end?
He did.
Didn't he sort
chose.
Of make eyes at the other one?
Well, I don't think that was a necessarily a romantic moment, but more like, well, we're both decided to die together.
Yeah, but I mean, at that moment, you might as well be like, well, are we going to?
So
do
you would
this?
Give him points for being a flaming queen.
Sure, why not? But yeah, but we're really stretching to go
we
there.
We are
but
really
I think
stretching.
That's kind of where we're at for that. So do you want me to go first for a scale of 1 to 10?
0 to 100.
Or excuse me, 0 to 100? I'll give it 10 for that, just because I feel like there's got to be some, there's some, something's going on there. If this was a mini series, we'd have learned some more.
Yeah, there's really, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 100. Pretty low. Iffy, what are you going to give Midsommar for actual gay characters?
Yeah, I'm literally have pissed. Picked up the cast looking through and I will say, oh man, if it weren't for, you know, for Mark's death where he's going to try and bang a lady, he would have been my pick as a man, because Will Poulter, you know, looking good, you know.
Is that more wishful thinking on your part?
But yeah, I think I have to, in my heart of hearts, give it a zero on there.
Fair enough.
Like, just no look. Almost because it feels like this cult feels like a cult that would punish you for being gay.
Right. I mean, like, there's very few, I think, pro-gay religious cults.
Yeah, like, because this one is, you know, no angry letters for this one. But this one is, like, feels like walking on that Mormon line because it's all about procreating.
Yes.
And,
yes.
like, you have to. And it's this image of the deformed child, and I need to get off this page. It's making me feel weird.
Yeah. I guess the only gay cult would be like Britney Spears fans, maybe.
Sure.
Sure. Work the World Tour. Work the world. All right. Our next category, on a scale of 0 to 100, what would you give Midsommar for drag queen inspiration? Could a drag queen watch Midsommar and come up with a whole book of ideas?
Oh, man.
I think so. There's a lot of looks in this movie.
The flower crowns alone, the dance scene, I could see a full like camp dance number based off of that weird folk dance number. That would be way better than the actual movie, to be honest.
Put a little disco beat underneath them. Sure.
You know, I'd love to see, what is it called? The Blood Eagle, like, you know, some good Blood Eagle inspired
sure, with some outfits outside of themselves.
Yeah.
Also, there's something, I do think there's at least like five distinct things, looks you could pull from this that you know would be from it. So you got the bear suit, obviously. There's also the look of the sister with the hose duct taped to her face.
Yeah.
That could be a look.
Okay.
I mean, the guy with the fringe mask, tree branch arms, all those gold robes at the end.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those all feel very, and finally, that giant flower dress,
definitely.
Robe consuming thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think the looks all sort of feel like the same world. It's not like there's a lot of totally varied looks, but I do think there's a lot. But I did also, in my Googling, found that someone edited together footage from the movie of the people, the old people falling and jumping with RuPaul's Drag Race judges reacting to stuff. And it was very funny. So that sort of inspired
Drag Like a death queen. Drop.
Exactly. Yes, people like losing their minds on that. So I want to give it some points for that. I want to give a shout out.
So you're saying
the
movie should have created different worlds?
I'm not saying they should have. I'm just saying, like, because like all, it's like all from the same cult. It's not like there's the cult look, there's the nightclub look, there's the, like, you know, like rodeo look. It's all sort of like within the same world.
Well, the one guy had the fringe mask, like Orville Peck. That's a rodeo look.
Yeah. True. That's right. Or, sorry, you're right. I stand corrected.
I don't know. I think there's a... Iffy, do you want us to go first or do you want to go? Are you more comfortable? It's up to you.
Yeah. I can go first on this one.
Right.
You know, I've been doing all the research. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. For this one, for me, I would say... all these are based in the bottle of time that we're in now.
Sure. Absolutely. Understood. Yeah.
I would definitely give it an 80 on that.
80.
One. Yeah. Okay. Because I feel like Midsommar is very on the pop culture zeitgeist now. So not only would it be like a fun, you know, adventure coming up with, you know, outfits for this, but you would do it and people would be like, oh, they're doing the Midsommar.
Right?
Yeah.
That'd be a great, like a drag brunch, you know,
sunny
outside.
Yeah. Also,
I do think, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, also, I have, like, friends who do, like, monster drag. Have you
heard of it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, seeing that, I was like, oh, and there's even more you can go when you do the monster drag stuff. So there's just element in different drag subcultures, too. I think the versatility in that.
Absolutely. John, what are you going to give it?
I'll give it a 73.
73, ooh, higher than I thought you were going to do. I think I'm also going to go 80. I think there's a lot in here. I think it's a hoot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm locked in.
All right. Our next category on a scale of 0 to 100, gay icons. How would you rate the gay icons of Midsommar? Are there any gay icons? I would say I had a few.
Okay.
I do think there is something, there is A24, the production company, is kind of, it's not Cher by any means, but I do think they do have like a fandom around them. And I think they do have a lot of gay fans. There's even like an A24 aesthetic to everything.
Okay. So I think would you say like their gayest movie as a, like, do they themselves have movies that are like, oh, that's a gay movie?
I don't know off the top of my head. Probably. I don't know. But I do think they are like one of the, like, they're known, they're like the cool movie studio right now.
Sure.
Do we think Florence Pugh is a gay icon?
I think she's like doing the ascendant work, but I think like, yeah, so yeah, early. she's not there yet. A lot could happen. She could be like a tragic gay icon. She could be like a more like,
well, let's hope not.
You know, like, you know, I don't wish that upon her, but like there's, but she's like, she's building the resume.
Yeah.
What about the woman who pushes on Christian's butt in the sex scene? Gay icon?
I mean, when you call her the woman who did something and then just list what she
have
did.
Have you forgotten that, like, that woman?
I have not forgotten that woman, but it's like, if we don't know her name, if all
why
we
do you need
say,
to know her name?
Well, to Clint be an Eastwood icon, I think it's an icon, yes.
Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, he was an icon, is he not? We don't know his name.
But you refer to him as Clint Eastwood.
Well, she's done one movie.
Okay. So I'm saying she had a great moment, but I wouldn't call it iconic. Or like, does
I
that
think
make
that
her
moment
an icon?
Is
it's an iconic moment, but is she an icon?
She has a cute moment. Smile afterwards.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Interesting. You can throw some points for that.
I'm just thinking. Do you have anything strike you as gay icons, Iffy?
No, don't. Like I said, this is very heterosexual. The whole,
yes. Not even Will Poulter.
Poulter, because he was trying so hard to bang someone. Like all the men, except for the one black dude, wanted so hard to try and fuck another woman, and all the black dude wanted was good grades, and he
yes.
punished.
Well, is it possible? Did we sleep? Is it possible that William Jackson Harper's character was gay?
That was going to be my guess, because he was the only one so not interested in any of the like weird sex flaunting in front of him. But then, you know, yeah.
But he was also like a jerk. Like he also wasn't like cool to Danny. You know what I mean? He was like very dismissive and rude.
Oh yeah, these were I think, and here's why I think everyone sided with Florence, John, is because we had this movie where every male opposite the woman was just gaslighting her the whole time, and so every woman who watched it was like, oh yeah, let them burn, literally. Because it was real weird. It was like, not weird, but it was like very interesting when like all of them were like, oh, she's just tripping again. And then, and also like the energy of the one who was part of the cult was such like that premium fuck boy snake friend energy of being like,
oh yeah,
they all crazy, look, I yes. have back, do you need anything? I'm like, oh, look, you're just trying to get in her ass too, like you ain't better. In the end, she is not well off. She's gonna end up fucking that guy who doesn't really care about her, you know?
But she's got her sisterhood.
Yeah,
she has her, she had her emotions validated.
Yeah. And now she can't wait to push on another man's butt to bang one of them. Like, who trades that off? Who gets the duty of pushing the butt?
I mean, the booty duty?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like you have to, maybe that's the
seniority.
Highest beat. Yeah, she's been there long. She's put in the time. She knows the rhythms.
Also, I feel like that like, is.
I'm jumping off a cliff next year. I'm touching some booty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like when you join that cult, like in your, it's definitely a 20s thing where you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna live forever. Sure. Oh yeah, I have to die when I'm old. Good. I'm gonna want to die. And then those days coming up to your when you're old, you're like, ah, oh, shit, I didn't think this out.
Oh, I should have gone to Florida.
Off onto a rock, and then they're gonna crunch my head. Oh,
why did he go feet first? That idiot. Yeah.
I know. I feel like that's like a last second. No.
Like, I didn't think this through. No. So, what do you want to give Midsommar for gay icons, Iffy?
Give zero. No,
zero.
Yeah. For a title such as Gay Icons, it needs to be someone who I'm like, boom, boom. Like, if we were doing Colorado Space, I'd probably say Nick Cage just because of that outfit he wore to the premiere.
I do not know if he's a gay icon, though. He's an icon, but I don't know if I say he's a gay icon.
All right, well, I'm going to show you this outfit, and I want your thoughts.
I'm sure it's crazy. It's probably like purple snake skin or something. It's Nicolas Cage. John, what are you going to give it for a gay icon?
I'll give it a 10 for the potential of Pew.
For the Pew potential? I'm going to give it a 5 for gay icon. All right, the next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Mm.
Well, we do see.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We see all
that,
of it.
That sex scene was, you could tell it was Ari Aster not trying to do like the thing where it's like just only looking at the lady banging. Like you get a lot of ass, yeah. a lot of his gyrations in that, mm-hmm. you know?
Mostly so. His ass. You see actual penis twice.
Yeah. You don't really get to see that.
I just looked at the photo you sent. He definitely looks like some sort of cruising in Vegas kind of look. I'll share it with our social media.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. People will enjoy it.
People will enjoy it. I mean, you do. As also, I read the actor, Jack Raynor, is his decision to go full frontal. It was not in the script.
Really?
But he said in these horror movies, you always see like the last, you know, the final girl.
Yeah.
They always end up like their top off naked. It's such a trope of horror movies to have like a victim running around with the top. He said, so it's only fair that he does the same.
Oh, yeah. I love
But also, if you look like him, is this.
Yeah, that was my body. I'd be like, you know what? Let's get someone professionally to record this for all time.
Yeah, yeah. I know. That's the thing is like, you have to be so confident in your dick to be like, oh, yeah, I just had to, you know, and to be fair. Right. Show my
because I'm such a good guy.
Yeah,
it was not a problem.
No, no.
And I don't think anybody was complaining.
Oh yeah,
I can't imagine.
There are also a lot of males gazing in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people looking up at a cliff. A lot of scenes of that.
I will say, even though like I don't think overall the camera was like horny for the dudes, like I don't think it like really. But Jack Raynor's t-shirts did always fit very well. Like even in the scenes when he was wearing clothes, like his t-shirts were always like perfect. So I'm like, if it wasn't the camera, at least the wardrobe person was very much looking out.
You don't think he was kind of like slouching through some of like his posture was like kind of
I
like.
I think it was like, it was a misdirect. I think it really was.
I see.
It looked hotter than you thought it would be, which made it even hotter, but it was actually hot.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
So what do you want to give Midsommar for the male gaze?
I'd say I was with that good plump round ass.
A lot of ass.
You know, I was gonna rank it pretty high, but the fact that he was so horny for that to happen to him, I gotta take it back. You know, because now you've taken the power.
It's almost
from
like
the gaze.
A Louis C.K. situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. you've thrown it on us. We didn't go for it. So I'm gonna say 35.
35.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 60.
60. Pretty good. Yeah, I'm going to go 65 just because it's so rare to actually see penis in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Actual real live penis. All right. Next category. Entrances with pizzazz. What would you rate Midsommar's entrances with pizzazz?
Ooh.
Well, there are also the opening image of the movie is that mural that tells you the entire story of the movie.
Yeah,
that's the very first shot of the movie.
Oh, 100%.
I do think the prologue itself is pretty incredible, like before the opening credits start.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Kind of setting the table for the movie itself. The commune has a great when we see that for the first time.
Like with that old couple when they first come to dinner, that's very like ceremonial.
Yes.
There's sort of like a sort of culty pizzazz there.
There's a lot of people being carried in wagons, on platforms.
Mm-hmm.
The room where Christian has sex when he enters that room, that's a very striking image. If you were to enter a room
with
15 naked ladies standing in a semicircle, you're like, this also is Harold practice?
No. Yeah. when she is presented after winning the contest with her nice crown and carried in, that was
right.
Nice.
That's true. Sure. They love a ceremonial traipsing.
There's so much traipsing in this movie.
Oh, yeah. So much.
But beyond that, this is not Beetlejuice. This is not Edward Scissorhands.
Right. Yeah.
This is not boom. This
Chicago.
Is very,
right.
Yeah.
Somehow, like the clinical remove of the cameras, like makes it all the more creepier. You know.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So, what do you want? What would you give Midsommar for entrances with pizzazz?
I'm gonna go 65.
65, pretty high.
65, yeah.
I'm gonna go 60 for all the ceremony and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like there's something about that to it.
I'm gonna go 70. I think these are some pretty iconic. I would love to be carried on a platform.
Sure.
Probably works your core. All right, next category. Might do very well on this. Strident women. Does this movie have some strident women in it?
I mean, Gunnel Fred. I mean, she was amazing.
Who?
Gunnel Fred. She played Siv. She was like the old woman.
Oh, the grandmother? Like they call her grandmother? There's that one woman when the two, like the English tourists, like freak out after the jumping. There's a shot of a woman in the foreground, like kind of shrugging. Yeah. Like, what is her problem? Like, they just jumped off a cliff. What's the big deal? God, I loved her.
She was great.
I love grandmother making a case for the ritual suicides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, all the women that just fuck with Christian, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And is the butt pusher, she's pretty strident. She's literally telling him how to have sex.
Do it.
Yeah.
And then Danny at the end, I mean.
And there's, what's her name? Who puts her pubes in Christian's food?
For the love potion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty strident right there.
Oh, yeah.
She's going after what she wants.
Yeah, she knew.
But does she have to go about it that way? Is that the way to go about it?
That's the way she knew. Is that so different than like Tinder?
Yes, it is very different.
Where you present a different image of yourself?
I putting a pube in someone's food is not presenting a different image of yourself.
Do you think? Any other strident women?
I think Connie was a little strident too. She was the other female.
When they're saying that, boyfriend left without you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That is so fucked up. So about that scene is so stressful to me. Like just the idea of being left on vacation in a weird commune somewhere.
Yeah.
So what would we give Midsommar for strident women?
Let me see.
It's a big question.
I guess for me, my pick.
Yes.
My number.
Yes.
Gotcha.
The number I will award this film.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Is going to have to come out to a number known as. We'll give it a 40.
40.
Give it a 40.
I'm going to go a lot higher because I just think Gunnel Fred, again, as Siv, was just so great.
Yes.
I'm going to go 83.
I'm going to go 90 because throwing yourself off a cliff on your own terms, pretty strident. All right, you're going to make up a lot of points here, I think. Macabre, on a scale of 0 to 100, how macabre is Midsommar? I think it's very macabre.
Yeah. It's very macabre.
Oh, yeah. Probably the big, big macabre energy.
And I think all the creepier because it's so bright.
Yes.
Because it's like everyone's wearing white. There's so much sunlight. It's not like.
It looks cheerful.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like if they allowed Instagram, people would be blowing it up.
Oh, my God.
They'd want to be posing everything. Oh, there's some gore. See a lot of smashed faces.
Yeah.
We literally see a man's head get crunched by a giant mallet so unceremoniously you might miss it if like it's not even an event that they're going to bop his head to crunch him and kill it. Like it's just like boop, and it's and we've mentioned the blood eagle, we've mentioned the deformed child.
Florence Pugh has that weird nightmare that's very macabre.
I mean, just the opening itself.
Yeah, seeing her sister. Parents, the design of people who died of carbon monoxide poisoning is so much to take in. Like, that still sits with me.
And also the fact that you saw them earlier, but you didn't know they were dead in that moment.
Yes.
It's very creepy. I think this is one of the most macabre movies I've seen it a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, also gaslighting is pretty fucking macabre, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking menstrual fluid seems pretty macabre.
Oh, yeah.
Burning people alive, sacrificing people.
Wearing Christian skin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, watching people burn alive, too. It's not like it cuts away. We see the man start to burn. And then I think the man screaming while he burns is less chilling than watching the bear suit burning, knowing that he is drugged so that he can't
that he's display alive while it's happening.
Yeah. Like he you know he's in pain, but he has no way of screaming or anything. He has to just feel that pain in
his
silence.
Emotions are denied, just like he denied Danny's emotions. So he got what was coming. He had it coming. You're fine with Chicago. You're fine with Chicago saying that he had it coming. But
wait,
Vince
no,
Vaughn
but you're saying he
thing.
Denied her emotions. How did he deny her emotions?
He gaslit her. He's a gaslighter all the time. You don't think he gaslit her ever?
Where do you think he gaslit her? And that, like, yes, you should come to this party with us.
Yeah, and the whole thing.
I think
thing,
it was like
no,
it was someone. He should have broken up with her a while ago. This crazy insane
have.
Thing happened to her, and he just handled
he
it
should
poorly.
Not. He definitely did handle it very poorly.
But I don't think he deserved movie, to be burned alive.
But when you're in the horror movie, those are the stakes. I mean, if okay. he didn't die at the end of this movie, I don't think we'd be talking about it. You know what I mean? If she didn't choose to have him die, I don't think this wouldn't be. If they escaped at the end, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she had to choose her. She had to, you know, get empowered and to choose, like, no, fuck this fucker.
But she didn't choose, though, because they said that thing. They said, you're drugged. You can't respond or do anything.
No, she said she could choose him or the guy who won the lottery to die.
Yeah.
She chose him.
Yeah.
How did she choose him? I don't remember because
she
was like,
oh, it's at the very end. She has the choice of the last person who was going to be burned because they're burning all their friends.
You had to do nine.
It could either be, yeah. And it was either going to be her boyfriend or someone from the commune who would do it. My only question is, like, so in the world that she was like, all right, you fucked up. You can say, does he get to leave or is he stuck in the commune?
I don't know. They might like, be they stuck. I don't know, that. Right? I don't know if she had chosen someone else.
But I was thinking about it, you know, just looking this over and going through it. If there was the world where he did the quote unquote right thing, broke up with her and then went to the trip and he died, then that probably would have just been another loss for her. She would have just, you know, she right. you know, she would have just thought he died and went. Instead, she got to be there a part of his death, and it will not affect her.
And she had the great smile. It's one of the only times she smiles in the movie. She smiles when she first gets to the commune. She goes like, huh. And then at the very end, she has a beatific smile. So, Iffy, what would you give Midsommar on a scale of 0 to 100 for Macabre?
Oh, I'm giving it the 100.
100.
Going for the full 100.
I will give it 100 as well.
I am also going to give it 100. Giving it 100, tying it with the Silence of the Lambs. And kicking the teeth in of Mermaids, which only has a 57 in Macabre. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting in Midsommar?
Well, for the most part, it's very bright.
Yeah.
So, like, there's not like a lot of.
But don't you think
which
that
has
adds
drama?
To the drama?
Yes, absolutely. But I was gonna say the only time where you feel like you, to me, where I like notice like, oh, this lighting is like creating a mood specifically, was like when they were in that chamber with like the ancient texts, like that had like the lighting on the podium where the book was and like shadows around it. So that was like very like it was very like Super Frenzy kind of lighting in that place.
Super Friends.
Yeah, where it's, you know, it's just like a big chamber, but like
the Hall of Justice.
A tight spotlight on like a very important book.
There's also the very opening of like the police siren, red light flashing as we follow the pipes through the house. Those tubes.
Yes.
That looks incredible. The guys, I'm not sure whose apartment it is at the end when she goes to meet up with the guys at their apartment. That looks great. Also, I do think the drama of just the fact that it is so constantly bright out adds to the unsettled, unseemliness, the creep factor.
Yeah. Because it's hard to know like when it is because like they even talk about it. We're like, oh, it's nighttime, but it's just the sun's out.
Yes. I think that's very hard to make sunshine seem creepy. And I think they did it. It's iffy. What do you think about Midsommar and dramatic lighting? What do you want to give it?
I think I'm gonna just go ahead and rock with a low 20 on this one.
20.
Because it's just you're right, John. It's so bright. It's the and I think that's kind of like the beauty of it is it's a horror movie that's so bright where most horror movies try and keep you in the dark. But yeah, because of that, it really isn't dramatic lighting. We're seeing everything as it comes, you know. Sorry to the lighting staff. I know there were actual
really
lighting
hard.
And worked hard. But I mean, if we're talking about like dramatic lighting in the sense of, you know, movie, you know, in the feel, you know, the feel, you achieved it. But I think if in horror dramatic lighting, you know, in the exaggerated horror right. sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
Give it a 20, John. What do you want to give it?
I'm going to give it a 55 because I do feel like there was, I think the lighting was considered. I think that is definitely much a part of the story and all the creepiness of it, even though it was like a de facto, like, all right,
Sun's up, guns out. I'm going to give it a 75 because I liked it that much. Giving it an average of 50.
All right.
Our next category, vibrato. How would you rate the vibrato of this movie?
So in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean like anytime they give you something extra, like any they take a moment, they give it a little more, they zhuzh it up and you like it. So anytime they do a little more, not just literal vocal vibrato. But it does have literal vibrato because there's all that chanting and singing.
The old man singing that deep.
Yeah.
Also the fact that this cult takes the time to like decorate the like dead people feels extra. Sure. Like they could have just thrown them in a pit, you know, but they took mm-hmm. the care. They took presentation into
I agree. I think like the barn where everyone sleeps, like that's very, it's like so decorated, it's so painted, it's so kitschy and a lot. Right. But that's very vibrato.
I hate that the second story of the barn, there's no like handrails. So how do you like keep from falling off that second story balcony? That seems terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think like the old guy, like the fact, like his, like when he jumps, like the fact, like his, when we look at his leg that was like it, like broken off and like twisted back, like that felt very vibrato to me. And just like, oh, it's like bad enough that he fell and didn't die. Let's do this to his leg. You know, like that to me, I was like, ooh, but I liked it. Yeah.
John, you sick fuck.
Nasty boy.
Yep, that's right.
Also like the music, he also did this with Hereditary. It makes everything, especially at the end, like mm-hmm. this is like in Hereditary, I know I wasn't supposed to, but it did feel like you felt cathartic. You felt if the music yeah. made everything feel like a victory, like but evil yeah. like, and it's kind of the same with this one too. Everything it really crescendos at the end, like so that felt very extra to me. So Ify, what do you want to give Midsommar for vibrato?
Vibrato.
Oh, vibrato. Get it.
I'd say a 70.
70.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little higher than that because I also think like, what's his name? Mark, like he was pretty vibrato.
Yeah.
In a way that was like fun. Like it was fun thinking he was a jerk. So I'm going to give it 85.
Ooh,
85. Pretty vibrato. The John, surprisingly high, considering you hate this movie.
I don't hate this movie. Stop rewriting history.
I'm going to give it an 80. It is crazy, like how this movie and also Hereditary have like surprisingly like funny moments. Like they're mm-hmm. like funny, but also this dread at the same time. It's such a weird tone.
Yeah.
All right, next category. There's only a few more left in the canon categories. Don't Ooh. You worry. This one is footwork. How would you rate the footwork of Midsommar?
Oh, well, you know.
As we said, there's a lot. There's a ton of it.
The Maypole dance competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the May Queen dance competition. That's kind of the big one.
They were running around in chains a lot, like just mm-hmm. walk, like running
the
around.
Holding hands.
Also, there's girls walking backwards as they picked up flowers. That was mm-hmm. weird.
Also, that guy's fucked up leg, this fucked up foot, that was footwork.
Oh, yeah.
If that's not footwork, what is? Jumping off a cliff True. Feet first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once Florence Pugh became like the May Queen, all those girls like pulled her in a carriage like they were horses.
That's right.
It's a lot of footwork there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of footwork in this movie.
Surprisingly, could it be a musical, John, you think?
I think it could, but wow.
Grim.
Pretty grim.
Well, you have the people falling.
How do you maintain that tone with an intermission?
Yeah.
Well, that's when the people jump off the cliff. It's like the chandelier and phantom, you know, the people jumping off the
very
cliff.
Slow.
They swing over the audience. Go down.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll work on it.
It's definitely the turn where the choice.
That's it. It's definitely a good act break right there. Yes. Yeah.
What do you think, Ify, for footwork?
Oh, man. I mean, that May Queen scene, the choreography, the suspense,
The excitement.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally in like intertwined with the plot. It's not just decoration.
Yeah. On that alone, I think is going to boost it up, especially in comparison to most horror movies.
That's true.
Give it an 80.
80?
80, 80, yeah.
Yeah, I will go, I'll go 86.
Mm. 86. I'm also going to go 80 because it is that Maypole dance is pretty amazing. And also she has to stand on that platform. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Did your guys' school do square dancing in elementary school? We had to do learn square dancing.
Oh, yeah. Mine did not.
Yours did not?
No, I went to a school in Compton, California.
And they didn't do square dancing?
They weren't hyped about the square dancing.
Well, your loss. So maybe this next category will resonate more. Animal print. Well, there's the bear suit. Is that, do we consider that?
There's the bear suit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also the mark suit.
Mm-hmm.
A guy wears. We did.
Man, the most dangerous animal. Yeah, yeah. Okay, sure.
We cannot
completely discount that.
Yeah, that he wore. There is a skin suit at one point in this movie.
If we counted it in Silence of the Lambs, we got to count it in Midsommar. Sure. It's only fair.
Yes, thank you for keeping us honest, Mark. Thank you.
But beyond that, it's not a lot of animal print, surprisingly.
No. Which is too bad, because because they were wearing such like uniforms, if they had just woven it in a little bit, there would have been all over it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. So I think it's just those two. I guess leather.
Is it a print?
I mean, it is. What is a print? What is a print? I guess is a print a pattern? I don't know.
Yeah,
I would think so. I think it's. I don't think it bullseye. A bear wearing a bear does not bullseye an animal print to me.
Is a fur coat like, an animal print?
Again, it's not a bullseye. It's something, but it's not a full like straight on.
It's not like a leopard print,
right?
Tuxedo. A
leopard print blouse. Yes.
It's not tuxedo. Nicolas Cage's leather jacket cuff at the premiere of Color Out of Space. That's animal print.
That's animal print.
So I think we just got the bear suit and the mark suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 20.
20.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ride that 20 wave with you. 20.
Okay.
I'm riding that 20 wave.
I'm also going to give a 20.
Yeah.
And then this is the last of the canon category, Iffy. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Midsommar to a gay person?
I think it's still going to be 100 for me.
Really?
It's still going to be okay. 100. Yeah.
So if I told you, Iffy, I haven't seen Midsommar, you would say, you got to see it.
Yeah, I'd say, you got to check it out.
But I also haven't seen Yentl.
Oh.
See Midsommar? Well,
me either. Yeah, go see.
Oh, great. Double feature?
Yeah. Double shoot. Double.
100. Pretty great.
I mean, I agree. Like, I think it's great. I would recommend it to anyone. I would specifically recommend it to a gay person because of the male nudity. Okay. So, you know, because like it's the rare horror movie of like, but you get to see Jack Rayner, all of him. But it's not something where I'm like, girl, you've got to see Midsommar. So I'm going to give it a 90.
90. That's pretty good. I do think gays are like, because I do think we also as gay men are often the victim of toxic, you know, masculinity.
Sure.
And I think this is just a great cathartic takedown of toxic masculinity. So I think there's a lot to appeal to a gay person. So I'm going to give it a 90. Give it an average of 93.33, which is almost double what Mermaids has, 51.67. We put Mermaids in a bear suit and lit her on fire. All right, now we
really
got
a vendetta against Mermaids.
Well, it was the furthest away. That had a 51.67 and likely to recommend to gay people. All right, Iffy, now we're into the wheel category.
Right.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in that we put on the wheel. So we're going to spin it a couple times, and then that will dictate which category we judge this on.
So we're going to do four of these, and then you add a category.
Okay.
And then it's the bonus category.
Ooh,
okay, here we go. Rye smiles.
Well, I think her very last smile at the end of the movie is pretty wry.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. The most wry, iconically wry.
An iconic wry.
I mean, it is like a meme. It's like a moment.
Yes. Yeah. Even though you hate that moment, it's essential to the movie, John. The director said he wrote this in the midst of, like, he had just gotten out of a breakup. So this is like,
yeah, it was apparently originally it was just like a more standard classic horror movie, and then he went through a breakup and this happened. I just felt what she went through was so insane that I almost, there's a part of me that's like, we've really brushed through how insane this like family murder slash sister suicide is. And then I don't know, I just sort of felt bad for him, I guess.
I did not feel bad.
Even though I also recognize that they did not handle pretty much any moment correctly or well. Yeah. But I still don't think anything they did was so bad that he deserved to get burned alive.
Well, people killed by Jason just because they have sex don't deserve to die either, but we're fine with that. Yeah. It's the same thing. But it's like, what is your fatal flaw? In a horror movie, everyone has their fatal flaw. And like his was,
I don't know,
was gaslighting his girlfriend. Probably one of the most traumatic events in her whole life.
Yeah, I'm going to go to a party. He says, you can come if you want. What the fuck? Don't go to the party. What are you thinking, you idiot? Iffy, what are you going to give Midsommar for Wry Smiles?
Oh, I that one, I'm going to give a 90 for that Wry smile at the end.
I feel like the Swedish or wherever these people are, they love a Wry smile.
I'm going to give it an 87.
87. I'm going to go 88. Pretty right. I give an average of 88.33. All right. Next category. We're going to spin that wheel. Rise Smiles from Labyrinth, I think.
That is correct.
Or Labyrinth episode.
How Korean?
All right. How, on a scale of 0 to 100, how Korean would you say Midsommar is, Iffy?
Oh, I'm definitely... I'm definitely gonna go for zero.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, because you know they have barely black people in it, and they tried to kill them as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't know if it's as soon as possible. Oh, I guess they were the first ones, right?
Yeah,
the couple.
Yep,
Connie and I forget the guy's name. Yeah.
Connie and
he got flayed.
Christian and whatever. All right. Yeah, I have to go zero as well.
Me too. Zeros across the board. For shame, Midsommar.
Sorry.
That's from our Parasite episode with Peter Kim.
Bold lip.
A bold lip. Did we clock any bold lips? I mean, it's people are outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say no bold lips.
No, it's pretty muted makeup palette overall.
Yeah. A lot of a nude lip.
Yes,
we could say. Oh, yeah.
Let the lip speak for itself, as it were.
But is there something to the bold lip of Christians being in the bear? I know the mouth was over his head. The bear had a bear has bold lips.
Do they have lips?
Yeah. What do you call those? Do dogs have lips?
Dogs like have flaps. They have over mouths. Their gums. But I wouldn't call them lips.
That's a deep question.
You got some
So bold lip.
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't clock any.
I'll give it 5 for the bear.
5 for the bear, which is the same thing you say last time we went to the Eagle.
Mm-hmm. And that bartender paid attention to us the rest of that night. See, I was right.
I'm also going to give it I'll give it a 5 as well for the bear. Iffy, what do you want to give Midsommar for a bold lip?
I'm gonna have to give it a 0.
0, tough but zero. Fair. All right, this is the last of the wheel categories.
Yeah.
Real bodies.
How is this movie for representing real bodies?
I mean,
you got that circle of women. God.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That was definitely an all titties matter situation. Like they didn't, you know, they didn't just try and prop up the best, you know, most accepted titties in Hollywood. These were titties of all ages. I was real blown away. Real blown away.
That does seem to be one of Ari Aster's like tropes, because in the end of Hereditary, there's a lot of naked people, you know, real bodies as well too.
Yeah, he's just like, shocked. I'm just trying to show
this is reality, man.
Yeah, this is it. You want to look away? This is the real world. These are real titties.
No!
Open your eyes to the real ones.
I mean, I guess who are the people who would be offended by that? Only like supermodels or people who never see that kind of thing. I see a real body every time I get out of the shower. This is not shocking to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what would we give real Midsommar for real bodies? I mean, just the sheer number of them alone.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, straight up a hundo for me.
100.
I'm going to go 95 because what's his name's body is not
Jack Raynor kind of takes
Jack Raynor, yeah. But what a way to ding a category.
I mean, I'm also going to give it 100 because I think just the sheer amount of them. All right, Iffy, the time has come for you to add a category that we could use to judge Midsommar and every other movie afterwards to judge how gay they are.
All right. I would say, even though musicals are for everyone.
It's true.
Yeah.
I will say, potential for musical. That is going to be my...
musical potential?
Okay.
Musical potential.
Potential.
Yeah. I think that's fun.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
So what would you give Midsommar?
Oh, I'd say I'd give it a nice 85 for the
85
for the May Queen scene. I think an opening number doing the prologue would just be a nice song and dance. Mm-hmm. I think all of the screams, all the scenes where they are mocking like the kind of panic attack post sex scene, that would be a beautiful dance number. The dance number at the end as the hut burns, yes. You know, all of that.
Sure. You could do, if I was still writing sketches, you could do like a real fun, like Belle from Beauty and the Beast parody walking through the commune, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
There goes the lady with her big white hammer, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of, it writes itself.
Oh, why aren't you still writing sketch comedy?
You know, it doesn't exist anymore.
True.
So John, what would you give Midsommar? Also, would you consider an opera under that? Because, you know, maybe this is better for opera, maybe?
I was thinking it could be an opera. Yeah, I mean, it can get fuzzy because you have through-sung musicals. I think it could work as an opera. I also think it could work as like a modern dance piece. I think there's a lot of like musical potential. So I'm going to say, and actually maybe that might get us more like, sometimes what you can do with a musical, you can flesh out what's going on inside a character's mind. So that might be helpful in some cases. So I'm going to rate it, say 92.
I'm going to split the difference and do 88. We're an average of 88.33. I think this would be a fun... Also, it could just be set at the commune. Musicals love a single location, do they not?
Some do.
Some do. West Side Story, it's all at the West Side. I don't know if that's true.
That is not true.
Okay. All right, Iffy, now we are into the bonus categories.
Oh, yeah.
So these we're all going to rate on a scale of 0 to 10. And so these are just bonus. So if you give it a 0, it's not going to get penalized in the long run. It's just bonus extra.
Got it.
Don't worry. We are more than halfway done. Don't you worry.
Don't worry.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm just getting more info.
Okay, great. All right. So the first one, makeover montage. How would you rate Midsommar in terms of a makeover montage?
Oh, that's going to be an 8 for Danny, her May Queen glow up.
I have started thinking about this category. Maybe I've been thinking like, maybe I've been too hard on them. Maybe I should start splitting the difference of like, there's makeovers, but there's also montage. But so it's not necessarily 0, but she definitely does get a glow up, as you said.
Yeah.
So a makeover does happen, not so much a montage. There is a montage in the director's cut where she's driving in the car with the guys and they're all just saying the most like gross, talking about women in the most disgusting ways. Oh, so that part's really fun. and her montage is she falls asleep, her makeover. So if you're giving an 8.5, did you say?
Yeah, I'd say 8.5.
Oh, okay.
I'll give that.
I'll give it a 2 for that.
2. I think I'm also going to give it a 2 just because it is a makeover, but I don't think it was done in a montage. Uh-huh. All right, our next category, cheerworthy cameos. Was there any cameo where you said, hey, there's the only thing I know of, you do when Danny is crowned the May Queen and she's raised up onto that platform.
Uh-huh.
There's an image of the sister in the trees behind her.
Right.
Where you see like her eyes with the tube attached. It's really unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is one where you go like, hey, there's the sister in the trees with the tube taped to her mouth.
But we've seen her earlier, so that's 2 scenes, so she would technically not be a cameo anymore.
But I don't think it's nice. I'm not saying it's a 10, but it's something, I think. Like she cameos later, you know what I mean?
Okay, sure. Here's what I wrote. No, there weren't, but I did keep thinking I was seeing David Spade.
Sure. Who was
like,
David?
Whenever there was like a crowd scene, I just thought like one of those guys was David Spade for some reason.
Makes sense.
That was as close as I got to a cheerworthy character.
And you cheered every time you thought you saw David Spade?
I didn't. Again, it's not a 10. I just went, hey, is that? But how funny would it be if he just was randomly an extra in this movie?
Very funny.
Hilarious.
Also, something cameo-ish about that opening, all the murals. Like, there's another mural that shows how, like, the love potion works. Mm-hmm. Like, the camera passes by, like, a tapestry that's being hung out to dry.
Yeah, I'm coming back up for air because, of course, this whole time we've been talking, there's a Midsommar subreddit, and apparently there's a scene. So do y'all want to know how Connie died, even though they never show it in the movie?
Sure.
Apparently it's a deleted scene where Connie and Danny, you're shaking, so you knew this
already.
It was
already in the director's cut.
So you saw the director's cut, you fancy ass. Okay, did you see it, John?
I did not see the director's cut.
Okay, so it's only Mark who's being fancy on us.
Yeah,
but there was a scene where I guess they're going to drown a child, and Danny was the one who was like, no, and Connie was kind of frozen in fear, and that was part of the ritual, apparently, to stop them from drowning the child. So when you see Connie's dead, she's like wet and wearing like the same kind of mail that would have held the child down, meaning that she probably took the place of the child.
Yeah.
So weird. What did she do that was so wrong that she needed to be killed?
They need to kill 9 people. That's like the festival. Yeah.
There were the 4 of them were going to die no matter what.
4 strangers, and then like,
Yeah, when you do the math, so you got the friend.
Right, but you're saying that like people needed, everyone, we need to be glad that they're killed or that they die.
No, it seems like they'd find some type of way to kill them, but they're going to die either way. there's no... like way, like one of the questions on the form was like, why did they do the blood eagle to Simon, who didn't do anything, instead of Mark, who pissed on the ancestral thing? And that's how I found out it was real. I'm like, y'all are so deep in this movie, like it's because, you know, like if you use Reddit, it's usually for a whole subculture. Like there's horror subreddits, film, gunpla, for like, it seems so narrow to do it for a specific movie that isn't a franchise, like,
right?
Like that's so much effort, like you're gonna be grasping at straws. They're already in 2020 just begging for content. Someone posted a TikTok of someone referencing Midsommar. I'm like, oh, we're getting to the bottom of the barrel, are we?
I do think this movie is like an iconic horror movie. You know what I think
it's
like
a cult classic, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all because the boyfriend dies at the end, and we love that, right, John?
Yeah, I'm so we'll curious, see. But I do have like questions, because if you think about it, okay, the brother, his brother brought 2 people. And then what was the
Pele?
Yeah, Pele brought Christian, Josh, Mark, and then Danny accidentally. But he was going to bring 3.
Yes,
that means that between him and his brother, they would have brought 5 outsiders.
Yes.
So what was the plan there?
Well, because those 2 guys volunteer also.
Which one?
The 2 guys in their gold robes, like when they take the drugs, like you will feel no pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Those are the 4 communes. So they said they needed to do 4 outsiders, because they said for the sacrifice they needed 4. I think I know what it is now, because they said for the it was a setup all along. Watch. So they get 4 outsiders. Uh-huh. 4, and it has to be 4 people from the village.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get and then the May Queen votes for 1. So that means that extra 1 was probably just a backup, so the May Queen can vote for another outsider, like a pure asshole.
Right? Well, if we're going to sacrifice people, might as well start with the outsiders.
Yeah. Or in this case, the May Queen might have just been like, oh, we're going to save Christian because his girlfriend isn't here, and we used him for his sperm, and we're going to kill Todd because he's weird.
Right? You got to kill weird Todd.
Or if someone else was the May Queen, maybe they could have, what's her name? Danny could have been the one, the sacrifice. Yeah.
So, Iffy, what do you want to give Midsommar for cheerworthy cameos?
Oh, man. Cheerworthy cameo. I'm going to say a zero.
Zero.
Yeah, there wasn't anyone, you know, like maybe if, you know, Donald, you know, Danny Glover popped out of the hut and was like, oh, I'm in the wrong place.
I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Or he says that before he jumps to his death.
Off. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Getting too old for this shit. Bye.
John, what do you
think? I'll give it a 0.5 for
0.5.
For continually thinking I'm seeing David Spade.
Oops. I'm going to give it a 3 for The Sister in the Trees.
All right.
Look it up. It's creepy. All right. Our next category, pool trouble. Mm. Well, the one girl was apparently drowned. Connie in that wheelbarrow looking bloated, implying she had drowned.
Okay.
That's something.
That's something.
Yeah. But yeah, there's not a lot of pools in this movie.
No.
Yeah. Not a lot of pools.
They don't seem to have a gym at this commune.
No.
And what's they're the doing toilet all that situation? Prancing?
They don't need to.
Yeah.
How do they bleach their clothes?
I know they definitely get it very white.
So what would we give this for pool trouble? I will give it a 2.
A 2?
A 2.
What?
For Connie being bloated. She was drowned.
We don't see it. But all right, I'll give it a 1.
It implies there was a
okay. Yeah,
the implication of pool trouble. Sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a 0. I'm gonna go 0.
A 0. Right. Tough but fair. You're consistent. All right, Mike, make up some points with this category. Witches. How witchy is Midsommar?
Ooh, this is good.
Pretty witchy.
Pretty damn witchy.
Yeah.
It's almost all a lot of like if Glinda the Good Witch was like really fucked up or strict.
Like definitely. Yeah. Like new agey.
But there's like the fact that like the coveny of the women are there to for her to get impregnated. Yes. They use a lot of mortal and pestle, which is very witchy.
Yes.
And I think like just like what's her name? Maha, just like trying to get like use her to cast a spell and like make it trick her you know, stuff. That's very witchy.
Yeah.
Also, just when someone's body is displayed with trees out of the arms feels witchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, burning at the stake.
It's just burning. That's the OG witch.
The OG witch thing.
The OG witch thing. So what do you want to give this for witchy, Iffy?
I'd give it an 8 because it's definitely like I'd say more like grounded witch stuff. Where like I could see this being a real witchy cult that you know maybe aren't doing spells but definitely are murdering.
Cult seems better than the Nexium cult though. Like if you had to choose which one to be in, you gotta go with the Nexium.
Oh yeah, because especially there is a period in time in which you're gonna jump off a cliff before you have to worry about this at all.
Yeah,
right? You know, like you get there in there.
John, what do you want to give it for witches?
I'm going to go 9 for witches.
9. I'm going to go 10 for witches. I think it's pretty witchy. Mm-hmm. Give it an average of 9, which is the highest in this category.
Yeah.
All right. Next category. This one might be tough. Gay actors playing gay roles.
Mm.
Well, there are no gay roles.
Don't know.
In
yes.
This
so I think we got to go 0.
0. If you find, was it, are you giving it a 0?
Oh, yeah. That's a, you know, I'm straight up 0. You know,
I appreciate that. All right, this next category, themes of mothers. Well, there's a big maternal.
Ooh, I was going to say, that's the almost overall.
Anytime you have fertility involved seems very mothery.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of caretaking happening in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of emotional validation. Seeing your mother. She sees her. Oh, there's also the cheerworthy cameo when she sees her dead mother walking right by her after she's crowned the May Queen. That's kind of a cameo, huh?
Yeah,
sort of. Yeah.
I think this is very. I'm trying to think of another. I'm sure there are other horror movies that deal with mothers. Mm-hmm. There's Mother.
I think that. Yeah, the Nightmare on Elm Street ones I think do with it more. This one I feel like it's like the cult is maternal, but there's not really a lot about like this is what it is to be a mother. You know what I mean? Like motherhood itself doesn't seem to be a big theme in and of itself with the characters.
Sure. But in I don't know. I think the whole thing about fertility and like life cycles and I don't know, the energy of the and their rituals seem very, you know, about placing motherhood front and center. And there's also the scene where we see the woman get impregnated.
Right.
That's a whole thing.
That's true.
That's a whole thing.
With a butt toucher. You're right. There's a whole lot of themes of mother going on here.
Iffy, what would you give this for themes of mothers on 0 to 10?
I'd give it a 4 because I will, it's true. It's more sisterhood than motherhood, but I do think Siv plays this nice mother role throughout the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For sure. Yeah. You've convinced me. I'm bumping it up to 3.
John, I'm going to go 5. Give her an average of 4. All right. Next category, dramatic smoking. Well, there's the gas scene at the very beginning where Terry kills her parents through dramatic. That's very dramatic smoking.
Sure.
Probably the most dramatic.
The most.
Mark vapes a lot.
That is true.
And then, I mean, like there's people are set on fire. So there's smoke coming off of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is one of the first movies. I can't recall like a character vaping a movie and using in a movie, like how people really vape.
Yeah. Right.
Like I can't think of another movie where I saw someone vaping. I never saw Blockers. Maybe it happens in that. I don't know. But this, I thought this is like a good vaping. Like this is the kind of guy who's a vapor.
Yeah.
Right.
Big vape energy.
Big vape energy. Iffy, what do you think about dramatic smoking at Midsommar?
Yeah. I it would have been low. You brought up that vape. And that is true.
It does reveal so character.
Bump the thing up. It's going to be a 7 for me.
A 7. Wow.
I'm going to give it a 2 for dramatic smoking.
2. Yeah. I'm also going to give it a 7. Exhaust.
Whoa. Okay.
All right. And this is the last of the bonus categories. Quips. How quippy is Midsommar? There's some jokes.
Sure. I wouldn't say it's not like a very quippy, like there's not, it's not very quotable as a movie, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. Then there aren't any big zingers.
No, it's funny, but it's more funny in like how the character is naturally funny. And it doesn't feel like we're not in Adam's Family Values territory.
No.
Here. Yeah.
There's that hair pie joke, but that's kind of distasteful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Iffy, you're a funny guy. What do you think about Midsommar for quips?
Oh, it's a 0 for me.
A 0.
Yeah, big 0.
Yeah, I'll go 0 as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 1 for the toxic masculinity jokes. All right, now we are into the iconic categories. There are 3 of these. These are kind of like umbrella overarching categories that kind of all the previous categories kind of live under these umbrellas. So these are more broader categories. And we're going to go back to 0 to 100 just to make things even more complicated. So if you're on a scale of 0 to 100, what would you give Midsommar in homoeroticism?
Ooh, I think that's going to be a 1 for me.
A 1.
Yeah,
what do you get out of 100?
Oh, out of 100?
Yeah.
1. you know, because if it was flipped around and the way the sisterhood was being portrayed as brotherhood, oh, we would have been hitting hundreds of levels. But it really does. Like, I think this is a very heavily woman-led movie and what they're kind of going through, and the dudes are kind of there being dicks and being mad that they're accidentally eating pubes.
Because I guess it's like, that's interesting, because it's like, it wouldn't be it's not unusual to see women band together and support each other on like really intimate level. But right. When men do it, everyone's like, whoa, no homo.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, bro, come on, bro, back there, bro.
Right, where's that cult?
Let my brain eat itself from the inside over here, okay? Don't ask how I'm doing, bro.
Exactly.
Wait till I'm ready to jump off a ledge, bro. Come on. Yeah.
It's a not very homoerotic.
Yeah, not at all.
John,
not even
what are you
trying to push it.
No, it's not. But again, I've got to give it some points for the end. So I'll give it a 10.
A 10. Ooh. For Jack Raynor going full frontal.
The full
Raynor? I don't know. He's in a Transformers movie. I'm going to give it a 5 in homoerotic. Give an average of 5.33, which is 1 point lower than Silence of the Lambs. Oh, my God. All right. Our next of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Midsommar, Iffy?
I mean, they are at a camp.
There it is. That's true.
I mean, that dance scene really starts to push the limits of camp, I feel like, personally.
Mm-hmm. Like, all those flowers.
Yeah, the flowers and the dancing. You start to push that limit. But I think overall, and this is 1 out of 100?
Yes.
Correct.
Or 0 out of 100.
I would go 20 for camp.
20
for camp. On me.
Yeah, it's not very campy. Yeah. It's pretty like...
Yeah, like if anything, I'm giving it votes for camp potential, but in itself, yeah, not very campy.
I mean, yeah, because even like the gore, it's again, like it's a little over the top in moments, like, but not a whole lot. But you know what I mean? Like the leg and like the fact that they like hit him more than once after with that mallet and the skull. Right. Yeah, I think I'm going to go 18.
18. Well, I wrote up a list of campy things I noticed in this, so here we go.
Ooh, I like that.
Saying I love you in the most noncommittal way possible. Freaking out over it being sunny at 9 p.m. A movie showing you what it looks like to take mushrooms. Making your guests sit in a highly stylized seating arrangements. A shitty boyfriend forgetting his girlfriend's birthday and their four-year anniversary. Nonchalantly addressing the bear you keep in a cage. A foreshadowing mural. Sharing a room with a baby. Vaping. Duetting with your wife at dinner before performing a ritual double suicide, watching a ritual double suicide and deciding to continue your vacation, being more upset about your buddy stealing your thesis than the fact that you all just saw a ritual double suicide, being mad that you slept through the ritual double suicide, dream sequences, pissing on an ancestral tree, winning the dance competition against all the other girls and becoming May Queen, catching your boyfriend participating in a ritualistic sex musical moment and having your emotions validated, being a little weirded out by the woman pushing on your ass during a ritualistic sex musical moment, murdering someone but taking the time to display their body really beautifully, the fun bingo machine that decides who gets to take the opportunity to sacrifice themselves, being forced to watch them make the bear suit you're going to die in, and finally thriving once your shitty boyfriend is out of your life.
Wow.
So I think it's a little camp, which is part of the fun of this movie, that it does have these like weird
moments
out there moments, but then also real true primal dread.
So with that being said, what would you rate it for a camp? Now I'm curious.
I'm going to give it a 40. I've seen campier.
I thought it would be a little higher after all of that. But,
I make these lists every week, Iffy. This is new. All right. Finally, in the iconic categories, on a scale of 0 to 100, over-the-top wardrobe.
I mean, their wardrobe outside of the commune is pretty normal.
Yes.
And then I think at the commune,
I mean, the bear suit is over the top.
The bear suit, the flower dress at the end, the
gold robes.
Sure.
The one grandmother's hat.
There's a lot of like vests and like a lot of like layers and stuff.
But breathable.
Exactly.
It looked like linen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of over the top looks in here. Iffy, what do you think?
Oh man, yeah. I mean, yeah. We got a literal gutted bear as a suit. We got a flower crown that is not just, you know, a flower crown you'd see at Coachella, but a mountain of flowers laid atop a human's head connecting to a chair. You got those weird, dainty Danish white suits that are forced to be matching with all the other women in the commune. What else we got? Yeah, I think it all starts and ends with the commune. And once you get one commune outfit, it's all in there. I mean, the fellas, I will say, the high waist, long sleeve, short top combo, that's real nice.
So you were inspired, you would say.
Yeah, I definitely feel inspired. Definitely feel inspired. Maybe crop that whole top open.
Okay, let it breathe. All
right. Yeah.
Maybe get like a necklace or something.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So what would you give this for 0 to 100 for over-the-top wardrobe?
I would say a 45.
45.
45.
Yeah, that sounds good to me because there's not a whole lot, but I'm going to go 55.
55. I'm going to go 70 because you have a man in a bear suit.
Okay.
I've never seen that before.
Never?
Never. Give an average of 56.67, which is almost 2 points less than mermaids. This is devastating. All right. All right. Finally, if we were into the crown jewels, these are the last two categories.
And these are ones we agree on completely. So it's all yes or no. There's no scale at all. So we all say yes or no.
Okay.
So the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I think we have to go no.
Yeah, I think we have to go no because there isn't any. You know?
Exactly. This is Erasure, and I don't mean the band.
No.
All right. Finally, this is our very last category. Negative 50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so we'll not be penalized 50% of its points.
All right. So we are at the end. Iffy, how do you think we did? How do you think Midsommar ranked?
If you had to guess. I think this is going to be one of the lower ranking films.
Okay.
That's my guess. It's going to be a lower ranking joint.
Well, I can tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,442.81 points, Midsommar has scored 1,509.81 points, giving it an average of 61.81%, making it the 26th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Adam's Family Values, but gayer than Mermaids. Hey!
Well, look at that. Look at that. Wow. Look how far we've come.
Wow.
That's sort of the perfect place for it.
I think that is kind of where this lives.
Yeah, it fits perfectly. We did it. The science you have behind these rankings, gotta say, unmatched.
Thank you. No one else is ranking other movies on how gay they are. To this detail, I don't
know. Yeah.
If they are, we should sue them. Well, Iffy, that's it. We're done. Thank you so much for doing this.
Ooh, okay. Well, thanks for having me. I'm super excited.
It's a movie I love. Mm-hmm. And John hates.
So happy. It's not true. Stop creating this false narrative.
Iffy,
a great movie.
Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, well, you could just follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Iffy Whiteyway. If you enjoy movies, if you enjoyed, you know, the thought of coming at movies from a different light, I would say, check out my podcast, Who Shot You, where we go over all movies and, you know, different voices. Me, I'm a black dude, Drea, you know, Midwestern white woman, Alonzo, esteemed gay film critic. So, you know, it's like the Avengers of good takes because it's not just a bunch of white dudes in a room like most movie podcasts. You know?
Well, I hate to see that.
Yeah. Ugh. White straight dudes for posterity.
Thank you. Putting me on blast.
Yeah. But yeah, check that out. It's fun. It's good stuff. And anything I'm doing, you can keep track of just by following me on any of my socials.
Wonderful. And we'll
be right back.
We're back. What a fun time. I do think Midsommar. I think a lot of gay people like Midsommar. Am I crazy?
I don't think so. I think it's a great movie. I like it myself. I really wish you would stop saying people.
I think it's true. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you recall me not liking about it?
That the boyfriend dies in the end. Which is
yes.
And like that's the whole movie. That's the point of the movie. That's the whole what would it be?
What I disagree. I think it's fine that he died, but to me, I was just like, I just took issue with the fact that, like, oh good, he got what he deserved. I just felt like I don't know. To me, it was just like, I don't
know. But it's a movie. It's bigger than, you know what I mean? It's like the stakes are higher. It's bigger. It's, you know what I mean? Okay. Did every stormtrooper on the Death Star deserve to die? But it's a movie, you know?
All right.
I don't know.
You know what? It's hard to argue with this, Mark.
To me, it's, I don't know. Cause I also thought he was like so shitty. He sucked. He had like no redeeming features. He's just like such a, She was like,
sucked. I guess I also thought she was just like annoying. And again, I think like what happened to her family was so crazy that to me, I almost felt like
murder suicides are a thing. Not so stylistically done, though.
Well, yes, not with such panache.
She had a lot of panache.
But to me, I just thought like that was so insane. Like, part of me was honestly not on her side when she was like, "Yeah, I'm going on this trip with you." It was like, "No, you should not be going on this trip, especially since it was supposed to be a long trip." Like, she should have. I don't know.
But she's like gone through a crazy trauma. She's looking for any sort of connection she can get. In the very beginning of the movie, see her like going through her phone, like. It says something like could not connect, disconnected, just did not connect. She's looking for a connection this whole time. And she's not getting
it.
That
was to her sister. Yeah.
I know, but like on her phone, it's like all these messages, like outgoing calls, or it says like disconnected, no connection. So like her thing is like, if her parents hadn't been killed on such like an operatic level, it kind of makes it of a piece the rest of the movie. You know, like this is the world we're in, that there are big outcomes to like, you know, repress.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I get that. I guess just, there's a part of me that just still felt like she shouldn't have gone and she should have known better.
But she did. I mean, people make poor choices sometimes.
Gotcha. Like, but to me, it's still we're still so far away from like, good, that jerk got it.
I mean, I guess like I wouldn't have done it, but I see why she did it. You know what I mean? Also, she was like drugged too. You know, and I was like, yeah, fuck
sure, sure. Guy. Yeah, I guess so.
So there we are.
There we go. But I still think it's a great movie. I loved watching it. It was really fun. I thought it was very smart too. Like, you know, like everything, like watching it again and knowing what happens to certain people. Like there was it was that thing of like, oh, this all holds up and this makes sense. And
yeah, I just wish you liked it.
I do like it.
Speaking of things we like, John.
Oh yes. We like it when we hear from you guys. And we got an email from one of our listeners who we like very much. And it is from Cheryl and it's titled Podcast. And Cheryl says, ladies, I just discovered your podcast. Listen to the John Waters episode. So glad I found you. Took me back to the days when I could hit the clubs with the girls back in the late 70s, early 80s. I've been a huge John Waters Divine fan since their first movie together. So I really appreciate your episode. Have you done Rocky Horror yet or considered it? Great podcast. And I look forward to more. Well, thank you, Cheryl. That's
I wish I could go to the clubs with the girls in the late 70s and 80s. Nice? That sounds like a dream. Mm-hmm. We haven't done Rocky Horror.
No one has brought it in yet, but who knows?
Have you seen Rocky Horror, John?
Of course. Yes, I have seen Rocky Horror. Have you seen it?
I've seen it once, and it wasn't in like the theater setting.
Oh, so you saw it like on VH1 or something?
On VH1. Mm-hmm. Lots of commercials.
They showed it for a long time.
It took them 5 hours to air the whole thing. But that'd be a fun one to do. I don't know if we'd be doing it justice just watching it at home, you know what I mean? Because it is such like the communal experience.
I agree.
But it's probably worthwhile. I like the song Time Warp. And science fiction song. Double feature. They're on my Halloween mixes.
Sure. It's a great score. Delightful musical.
Yeah, I hope someone does bring it. Maybe we don't know what we're doing next week, so maybe someone will bring it
Who
in.
Who knows? Maybe someone will bring a Rocky Horror.
Yeah, sorry. No, we know it's gonna be this has been one of five cold screams. One of five, five cold screams. So we have four more to come.
Four more to come. Yes, if you guys want to email us, you can do so at twooldqueens. That's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @twooldqueens, TWO Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd where I update the rankings and you see who the guests were and where the movies are currently ranked. We also got a TeePublic store. You can get some merch.
Get some stuff for Halloween. The holidays coming up.
The holidays. Get your gift giving. Get your mother Eat Shit Funny Girl shirt.
Yeah, your dad, you are not the movie cruising tank top. Perfect.
Yes, Daddy. And also, if we got a Patreon.
We got a Patreon.
Retirement plan.
Retirement plan. We're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street movies, looking at those, trying to figure out which is the gayest one of all of those. So get on board for that.
There's a lot happening in the Two Old Queens castle Averse. Kingdom.
Yeah.
All of it. So, that's it. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free.
Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.